All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning, St. Louis, and welcome, welcome to the Home Improvement Show right here on KMOX. Like you said, I'm your host, Rich Orris, and I'm here to help you tackle your tricks, your treats of home ownership. Whether you've got creaks in your floors, drafts in your attic, or a basement that just feels maybe a little too haunted this weekend, I'm here to help you chase away those home improvement ghosts. Yes, it is the Saturday before Halloween, so we got a lot of Halloween topics we can cover today about your home. But don't forget, the phone lines are wide open. You can give me a call, 314-436-7900. Let's talk about your remodeling projects, maintenance questions, or maybe just that scary utility bill that brought up so high this month that you need to try and figure a way to make that better for you. So since Halloween is right around the corner, we're going to have a little fun today talking about the spookiest things homeowners run into, from mysterious noises in your walls to things that go drip in the night to hidden horrors and of neglected gutters. We can go through all sorts of topics of what happens in your home. Got some interesting topics about all those spooky sounds that you hear in your home over time throughout the years. I get these questions all the time. So later in the show, we can also share maybe some real life home improvement horror stories with you, the listener, and how maybe we can do the right thing and make sure this doesn't happen to you also, so we can have some calls, have some stories, have some questions, have some topics about Halloween and the sounds in your house that go creak in the night for you. So grab your coffee or maybe your pumpkin spice latte and let's get this thing started today. Remember, you can call me right now. We got the phone lines open, 314-436-7900. And so talking about sounds in the home, I get these questions a lot. I've even got it from colleagues, a couple designers, and they're like, wow, you know, I hear this pop sometimes and it's early in the morning or it's in late at night or middle of the night. I hear all these different pops and creaks and bangs. So if you might be wondering if your house is haunted, and if you were to ask me, I have a lot of things that happen to the home that I can go over, explain, and talk about some of these common sounds. If you were to ask my wife, she might say that some of them might actually be that haunting. There might be something in your house that's someone that's trying to reach you, give you some information, something like that. I'm not saying that that either happens or doesn't, but I know there is a lot of noises in the house that are probably not a ghost. So the good news is it's probably 90% of the time not going to be a ghost. But the bad news is there's some things that could be going on in your home, and there's maybe some task you can do to look for them, find them, and take care of them. So if we start with kind of the most common sound that we hear all the time is a pop or a crack that you hear, and it does happen often at night, and generally, you know, night, early morning, that is because of temperatures dropping, temperatures changing. So that's basically the framing, the wood expanding and contracting on your home. And when wood moves with the heat and the humidity and cold kind of shrinks, as the house cools down, the joists, the studs, and even your roof trusses, they can shift ever so slightly. It's very normal. Think of it as your home kind of stretching after a long day and trying to kind of feel better like we do all the time. So that can happen, and it just causes that wood to make a crack or a pop sound in certain places. And it just kind of is what it is. And that's definitely hard to track down, hard to find. and hard to correct and make stop happening. Now, another one, if you've ever heard bang coming from inside your walls when the heat kicks on, that can be your ductwork, kind of talking to you. The metal ducts can expand and contract as hot air rushes through them, and sometimes that can kind of make quite an entrance coming through in a real sound. We call that the duct dance. I've heard it in several homes where when the heat kicks on and that main trunk line starts running through and filling up, it can kind of expand as it moves down the house and actually sound like someone kind of walking through the house from one end to the other, because that air is moving through from one end to the other, or from the center kind of outward towards the outside walls of the house. And it can literally seem like someone's walking right through that house, right through the hallway. And in my home, at my desk, in my office, right kind of next to it between the desk and the printer, there's a very perfect spot that if I step there to go towards the printer to grab something off my printer, the ductwork makes a bone kind of sound like a drum. And I can kind of do that and make that happen on purpose. So there's movements and things like that that can affect that ductwork just as well. Another kind of infamous water hammer, makes that kind of clunk knocking sound, that loud thud you hear when a faucet shuts off, when you might not know what it is either a dishwasher running and stopping or a washing machine running. If you're on the opposite end of the house, you don't really hear the machine or the water, but you hear the bang or the knocking that is happening when that water comes off. And that can be a pretty easy fix sometimes by just a little plumbing adjustment, either installing an air chamber that can kind of hold that air and take care of that, or draining your lines and refilling your lines to try and get air out of there to correct that and stop that from happening on you. So floor squeaks is another classic. If you've ever heard that footstep sound and your subfloor gets loose over time, humidity can kind of wear down the glue. It can back out the nails. It can loosen the nails with a little bit of wear, and it all adds up to some good old-fashioned ghostly floor creaking for you. And that can occur sometimes when someone's on this kind of side of the wall or the room, and then maybe you're hearing it over here out in the hall or wherever it's happening. There's several places that can kind of derive from, whether it be the floor joists, the subfloor, the hardwood floor, how it's nailed to the subfloor, and or the walls nailed to the floor. And if the floor moves and the wall kind of separately moving up and down, that can also create a squeaking sound that you think's in the floor and it's actually in the wall. So there's a lot of different sounds from all of this that can happen. And we're going to jump into our first break here, but when we return, I can go over some of these that I've located, that I've found, and that I've actually corrected and came up with the fix for in the past on different projects. But again, you're hearing these things at your house, you have something going on at your house, you have your honey-do list, you have all this things you want to prep for and get ready for before Halloween. Any questions about any of that, I'm right here for you. 314-436-7900. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. More home improvement right after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. Hey, appropriate music there. Who could it be knocking at that door? Who could be making these sounds in your houses? You have strange things like that happening. You have anything you need around your house, I got a little more we can go over with where some of these sounds come from. I got a little more we can go over on how we correct and fix some of these issues for people, for clients. I've even done it for myself in my own home in some of them. We can help you out. 314-436-7900. Get you right in here, right today. Anything you need going on. So we've got some more with the noises we can get to in a little bit and what causes some of that. But for now, let's jump to the lines with Bob and see what Bob's going on. Hey, Bob, thanks for calling. You there? Can you hear me? I'm not hearing Bob. Well, we might have some technical difficulties with Bob's line here. Anything, Bob? All right. Well, we're going to try and work that out. Hang in there, Bob. Oh, we got you now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. You just couldn't hear me.
All right. Perfect. Hey, glad we found you. What's up?
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, my first comment was that I loved your first segment on the haunted house syndrome.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah, it was a really nice touch.
Yeah, and there's plenty more things and more places that actually happens to houses to cause a lot of that. So, and I'll have to tell my own little, I've got a little spooky story about working in a house that I'll have to, if I get some time, I'll put that out there too.
Okay.
But what's going on?
I could fill up your whole segment with all my haunted house stories.
That's great.
But let me tell you, I had a haunted toilet the other day.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a fairly new toilet, you know, one of those, more modern ones where you don't see the bolts on the floor and all that, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that bathroom was finished at the end of June, and my wife didn't want me to do it because she thought that, you know, she wanted a professional job. I said, okay, you know, whatever you say, you know. So yeah. I let her go ahead and do it. And of course, now, you know, was it 3-4 months later, you know, Bob, the toilet is it's not flushing right. You know, it's filling up the bowl and it's about ready to overflow. You know, I said, oh no, we got to stop this, right? You know, I got water coming down the basement. You know, I got a ranch house.
Yeah.
And so, you know, now there's water coming down through the floor, through all the new stuff, right? You know,
yeah.
Past the wax ring. You know, and I'm going, well, I said, where's the plunger? Let's start with the plunger, right?
Sure.
You know, so, you know, and, you know, start plunging it out and everything. And it just wasn't cooperating right away. You know, I said, well, it's going to take a little time here. And so, you know, I kept on plunging it. And finally, I think I got it to pass. And I said, well, you know, we're going to run some water through there. You know, I know where everything is. You know, I'm pretty handy. I said, I'll go ahead and take that cover off, you know, the clean out cover and make sure we got water coming down there, you know, sufficiently and everything. Of course, then I flooded the floor, with a little bit of extra water. I did have precautions. I had a bucket and some towels, you know, around there because I expected it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, fan ready and, you know, all that. You know, it was just on a concrete floor, so it wasn't going to hurt nothing, right? But now she's afraid to use the toilet. That's kind of like my haunted toilet story. I said, everything's fine. I said, you know, you just happen to have something that just got stuck together there in the wrong place. And, you know, when those shrouded toilets, you cannot see anything. You know, I mean, you couldn't see anything anyway with a regular toilet. But we're all clear here. I said, you can use that toilet to your heart's content.
Wow. Yeah. My years and years ago, in my in-law's house, their master bathroom toilet kept getting clogged, and I would unclog it and it was really started to become kind of reoccurring.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started looking in other areas and went up on the roof and kind of ran a snake down just to make sure nothing's taking the air away. There wasn't like a bird's nest. I'm looking at all this different stuff.
Yeah.
And finally one day, after this had been going on for a couple months or so, and it would, you know, like once a week or something, they're constantly. And finally I'm like, you know what? All right, I'm just going to take the toilet off. I'm just going to uninstall the toilet. And stuck in between the toilet in the wax ring in the drain was a nail file. Like somehow it fell, I guess, in the toilet, got flushed, and it was a cross blocking, just like catching stuff. It was very small, very thin, not very wide, but would catch. And as soon as I pulled that off, and I was, well, look at that. Redid that and reinstalled new wax ring and everything. Thing never clogged again, as far as I can remember. Yeah, it was really weird. So sometimes, yeah, something could just get in there. And
now you got me wondering, what did she drop in the toilet that she's not telling me about, or she forgot, or either one, she's fearful to tell me, or, you know, I mean, it just happened inadvertently, you know what I mean? Something fell out of her pocket or something. Who knows?
Yeah, or the grandkid with a matchbox car or something. You never know.
Yeah, well, I'm not letting them use that toilet.
Yeah, keep them away from it. That's a great thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, hey, great story, Bob. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much, and love your program. I always love listening to you every week. Every time I can listen, I listen.
Awesome. Appreciate that. Okay. All right. Thanks, Bob. That's great. And looking back here, let's touch for a minute here before our break. We've got a couple minutes that I'll try and wrap up some of these noises, because one we didn't cover yet is basically wind. Just wind, soft wind, or, you know, wind from outside putting pressure on a house. That can do two things to a house is when that wind's blowing. One, it's just putting the pressure and leaning against it so you can get a little bit of minor movement and some creaks and sounds that kind of move from one side of the house to the other with the wind doing that. And the other thing, it can change the pressure in your home. So as the attic's pulling air out of it and it's sucking air up, it can change the air pressure inside your home, which can actually move a door. So you could literally get door moving a little bit or squeak at a door because it kind of half shuts. The HVAC kicking on and all this air pressure in the house, you open one door and it shuts another or moves another. And so there's all sorts of things with air that can happen and create crazy sounds inside your house. And then, of course, sometimes it's not your house at all. You might hear weird noises. You might hear scratching or rustling in the attic or in the walls, and you're kind of trying to figure that out. Well, it may be a critter that's kind of moved in rent-free, taken over like a squatter, and you got mice, squirrels, raccoons, all these animals. They're not really haunting you, but they can certainly make enough noise to keep you up at night. And that's always when you hear those noises kind of late at night, house is quiet, you're getting ready to go to bed. And then there you go. You start to hear these weird noises. So before you call a priest, you may need a contractor instead, or a bug guy to get out a squirrel, a company that handles animals to get squirrels and stuff out of your attic. You may need some of that instead of actually what you're most kind of worried about and creeped out about with those sounds. They can be traced back to some pretty normal home movement, HVAC expansion, plumbing pressure. But, you know, sometimes if it doesn't sound right, or it's a new noise you've never heard before, just have it checked out and see what we think we can find out and what it is. Sometimes your house may really be trying to tell you something, and it would be worth checking out. So again, like Bob, if you have a story, if you have any questions, if you have anything around some of that, again, I've got some stories about what I found and how I've corrected some of these issues. But for you, what you need around your house, I'm here, right here for you, 314-436-7900. Don't go anywhere. More home improvement right after this. All right, everybody, we are back. Home Improvement Show live here with me, your host, Rich Orris. And whatever you need, we've got plenty of time. We've got plenty of show coming through. We've got a whole another hour after this hour, so we've got plenty for you. Whatever you need, 314-436-7900. Let's go to Ed on the phones and see how we can help. Hey, Ed, you there?
I'm here.
Awesome. What's going on? How can we help you?
So in my daughter's basement, with the ductwork, in the summertime when the air conditioner's on, a lot of condensation builds up. And the ductwork is framed up with drywall, so it's just so much is coming through the drywall that's dripping down and, you know, creating a hole there.
Yep.
We had someone over there, and the guy said, well, they enclosed the ductwork too. There's not enough airspace in there to give it room to breathe. Does that sound right?
Well, so that's half right, because there's definitely, when you have that ductwork hanging down and you build a soffit around it to finish the basement, you definitely build it kind of tight and kind of close, because the bigger you go, obviously the lower the ceiling, the people ducking under it. So we don't leave a lot of room for the air moving around, but we also don't leave a lot of room for insulation to be possibly put around it to try and help that. And the third thing that happens with that, and why sometimes that will condensate like that, is because of leaks of air. So if your basement's finished and you have a ceiling, even if it's a drop ceiling that's completely closed off around the perimeter of that basement, you have the outside walls of the house, you have the band board and everything connected to the outside, and between the foundation and the top of the floor to the first floor, that is a huge, huge leaking area into basements. So if you're getting air infiltration from around the outside of the house in the summer of very hot, warm air, and you got ductwork running and pulling air through, so the cold air returns are in there too, so it's pulling air, so it can even help pull air into the house where that air can leak, then all of a sudden you have cold air in a ductwork, cold metal trying to cool the house down, and you've got this hot air with a lot of humidity leaking into the house. And that's the other reason that this condensation occurs, is that that mix of air. So one of the things we often do to try and battle that is around the outside of the house, along that band board, if you were to do a foam insulation, like right now it probably has just the fiberglass bats that they just kind of stand up in there sideways, and they get about a R13 value for temperature, but they don't block air at all. And through that band board, you've got your AC line coming in, you've got penetrations through that, you've got a 2x4 sill, you've got a 2x10 on edge, and then you've got the plywood above that, so there's a lot of seams between the concrete and the wood, and the wood in itself that air could come in through. So trying to either find all of those penetrations and fill them with like a spray foam insulation, or having a company take all that insulation down and spray it with foam from the concrete to the plywood of the subfloor, it will block all of that air infiltration, and that might help with that temperature difference and the humidity coming in and that condensation. And then the next thing is, if there's a way to insulate around that ductwork or create more air movement and things around that ductwork, that would definitely help too. But I think your biggest issue is that air infiltrating in. You got to try and lose that air temperature difference.
Would if I substituted the ceiling tile with a vent to get that air in there, would that help?
Maybe not, just because it just depends on how much is from air movement and how much is from air leaking in from around the outside. And I always go to that leaking air and that humidity it first, because when you look at, if you take the first thing that creates condensation, it's temperature difference and the humidity level in the house. Mm-hmm. So the higher the humidity, the least amount of temperature difference you need to create condensation.
Got it.
So monitor the humidity level in that basement. I would get a digital hygrometer and I would put it in that basement, and it's not a bad idea to get one for every floor of the house and just know what the humidity levels are on each floor of the house, because they can be wildly different too. The basement can be way more humid than the second floor or vice versa. It just depends on the home and air leaks and all the different things that happen with a home.
Mm-hmm.
So watch that humidity. If you get a digital one, most of them will show, they'll record like highs and lows, so you can go back and look at them and say what's the highest, because if you're not going to be constantly staring at it. So if you go down there and you hit the button, and it will show you what's the lowest point it had been and what's the highest point it had been since the last time you hit that button and looked, because it might look normal often, but then you hit that button and all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, it was 56%. Why? When yeah. was it and why? And it'll get you. So controlling the humidity will be part of it, and then blocking any type of air from infiltrating in from outside will be a part of it. Then I would say focus on kind of vents and air movement and all of that, because that's kind of your order of magnitude and why it happens.
Sure. So what kind of company would come in and put that insulation in?
Well, it just depends on how you do it and how you get to it. So insulation companies can do that.
Okay.
But know that if you already have a finished basement, you might need to do things for them in order for them to be able to do that. So you might need to cut out some of that drywall out of their way where the drywall soffits are so that they can get to the ends. Or you might need to remove drop ceiling panels and tracks and stuff so that they can get in there. And if you're going to have them spray that foam everywhere in a finished basement, you'll need a lot of protections, because that foam, if you've ever used that foam in a can, if you get it on anything, I hate that stuff. I have a love-hate relationship with it.
Okay.
I hate using it, but I love how it works.
So I get it.
I just put a door in my house. I used it around the door. I even used low expansion. A lower expansion that's made for doors and windows, and that stuff will expand from here to the moon. And it's even the low expansion, and it's sticky and it's nasty, and don't get it on yourself. If you get it on a wall or a floor, it's like so hard to clean up. So I got some on the frame of the door, and now I'm trying to like scrape and clean that off with like alcohol-based cleaners, because it is nasty. So when Mosby Building Arts shows up to do a task like this, we would have an insulation company that actually sprays the insulation, but we would come in and remove everything out of their way, get everything kind of ready, put away. We would tape and hang plastic on the walls and drops and everything on the floors, so when they come in, they can spray, and if that drips and hits and things happen, you're just going to roll all that up and throw it all away, and you're not going to be repainting the whole basement because they came in to do this insulation. But then if there's drywall areas, we re-drywall, tape, mud, paint, put it all back together once they were done, because the insulation company isn't going to do all of that. So if you can do that, then you can get it ready for them. You just got to find out what they need.
Sure. Well, I think I might try the vent first. That seemed like the least expensive.
Yes, will be.
Set a ceiling tile by a ceiling vent and then see what happens.
Yeah. Yep. Very That's good. Not a bad plan. Hey, appreciate the call, Ed.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah, great topic, great question. Hey, Chris, if you can hang on the line real quick for a real quick break, I say we get to that, and then we'll get to Chris as soon as we return, and everybody else, when we return, we'll have more time for you, too. 314-436-7900. We'll get with Chris right after this. All right. Welcome back. Welcome back. Home Improvement Show. Remember, after this segment, we got a whole another hour for everybody. 314-436-7900 finds me today. We're having some great conversations, topics, some Halloween talk, and some great questions from the listeners. So let's go straight to Chris and see how we can help out. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, Rich. I'm planning on putting a carport up over my asphalt. I've got a large area asphalt section in front of my former garage. I'm planning on cutting out the asphalt, doing a post hole in there, filling it with concrete, and then for the base. And then I was trying to figure out what to put around that between the asphalt and the concrete to make it avoid any kind of issues with expansion, whatever, and all that. So
yeah,
I just wondered what ideas you had.
Yes. So that you are on the right track, Chris, for sure. And that is a great thing to think about, because you definitely need separation, because your post, the pier, that's going to, you know, you're going to dig down like 30 inches. You're going to bail it out and everything, but that asphalt's only a couple inches thick with a really good thick rock base around it. So you want to make sure that those move separately, because basically your pier is not going to move, but your driveway may. So that's one of the big things, is your driveway could actually lift up in the winter with some, when it freezes under there. And then it can kind of set back down, and we could be talking an eighth to a half inch. I've seen concrete go inch and a half up before. So that separation is very important. So what I've used a lot in the past, if you cut a square for like a 10 inch square, if they're calling for a 10 inch pier, if you do a 10 by 10 square that you cut out, cut that out an inch and a half bigger than you need the concrete size to be. And what we've used a lot is just cedar. You use like a cedar 1x8 or 10 or something like that, and you build a box and you slide that box in there, and then you pour your concrete, and that cedar has been used for years as an expansion between concrete pads and all of that. So it is a great expansion piece. So you can use cedar lumber, just a cedar 1x, make a box, slip it in there. The you can buy like fiber board and stuff like that, like a half inch thick fiber board, and try and use something like that as a difference, and keep them separate expansion area. That's just kind of harder to hold in place while you're doing your work, because there's isn't real good ways to kind of nail that and really make it stay. So that's the nicety of the cedar, is you can nail it together like a box, slide it in your cut opening, and then start doing your concrete.
How wide a piece of cedar are you talking as far as depth?
Well, that will depend on the thickness of what you're, when you dig it out, what you're kind of working with. So
you want it to match the asphalt that you're going through?
Or be, either match it or be taller, where you get a little deeper than it. Deeper doesn't hurt, but less, you just don't want the concrete hitting that asphalt. So if it's 2 inches of asphalt, technically you could probably do it with a 1x4 that would be 3.5 inches thick. When we've done it in concrete driveways, we typically went to like a 1x6 because that's 5.5 inches thick, and your concrete's generally 4 inches thick on average. So that'll cover any overages if it got a little thicker here or there. So a 1x4 or a 1x6 should work fine in your instance with the asphalt.
So I have just one more question. It sounds like from what you just said too, then, is you build that box and you slide it in.
Yep.
And then you just pour the concrete full in the hole and the box.
Yep.
And flatten it off at the top of the box.
Is yep. That, and that box makes a nice smooth area for you to kind of flatten that off with the top of that cedar too, because you kind of use
right,
that
and set
cedar.
The post on top of that.
Yep.
Awesome. Hey, thanks, man.
All righty. Yeah, no problem, Chris. Good luck, and glad you're thinking very deep into that on how to keep that separation. So definitely something we need to think about. And the good thing is, if that cedar over years, it's kind of like a cedar expansion joint between two concrete pads. If that cedar rots away over years, it just absorbs water, moisture, it starts to go bad, you can pull that cedar out. You can put some foam backer rod in the space between the concrete and the concrete, or the asphalt and the concrete pier. Put that backer rod in there, and then you can just use a urethane caulk to kind of re-caulk and keep that separation and that movement, and just make sure you don't ever have the asphalt redone and put back without an expansion around it where they go right up against that concrete. You don't want to do that again, because that's the next thing that could happen years later is 15 years down the road, you get a new asphalt driveway and all that cedar comes off and they just asphalt right up against it. You want to make sure you put that cedar back or some kind of expansion back if you redo that driveway at a later date too. So, hey, we're going to get into our hour break here. Got some news coming up for you, but don't be concerned. We've got a whole nother hour of home improvement for everybody here. 314-436-7900. Get you right to me in the next hour. All right, here we go. Hour two of the Home Improvement Show. Welcome, welcome, 97.1 listeners and KMOX from the first hour. We've got everybody here now, so plenty of time for everybody. We got another hour to go. What do you have happening around your house? What's going on? How can we help you? I'm here for everybody. Today, we got a whole nother hour. Like I said, 314-436-7900. Get you right here to me. I'm Rich Orris, your host for the next hour and for the past hour. We've had a lot of great conversations, some good questions. We've been talking about Halloween, spooky sounds throughout your house, what causes some of those. We can go over some of the fixes, what it takes to correct a few of those issues, or I should say what we've done in the past to maybe find them and correct them. We've got plenty for you, but again, what do you have? What do you need? Are you getting ready for Halloween? Are you getting your house ready? Are you thinking about the outside? Have you decorated? You got your pumpkins and all your decorations everywhere. What should you do to be ready for the big night next Friday night? We're all going to hopefully be safe and have a good time, so we can go over some of that also. But again, phone lines are wide open for everybody. 314-436-7900. And so some of those sounds that you hear that we've gone over that causes the pops and the creaks and the cracks and bangs and knocks and all kinds of different noises that our house can make, that can be caused by your plumbing, by your HVAC, by wind, air. It can be caused by expansion and contraction and movement and settling. It can be the house settling, cracks in the foundation and the foundation coming down, and you kind of get these areas that are just a little bit slightly under stress, and then you get this sudden movement and a pop or a crack. vinyl siding can do the same thing, if not installed correctly sometimes too. If it's installed too tight, if they didn't leave enough room in the laps from one piece in, to another to slide sideways back and forth and expand and contract, it is quite amazing when you look at residential construction and you look at the products and how we build a home, how much these homes really can move and expand and contract at different times of the year. I've seen vinyl siding absolutely just all of a sudden there's like a half inch gap between two pieces of siding, and they just didn't lap it in the right place for it to be able to move left and right, and it just opens up and you can totally see the wall right behind it. And we talk a lot about wrapping and flashing and controlling water, because imagine that. If you can have that open up, then you've got a direct line to get rainwater, wind-driven rains right behind that siding. But if that siding's lapped too far and it tries to expand, then it kind of pinches and it can bow and pinch, and that can make some noise as well. Where you nail vinyl siding, there's slots that are about 3/4 of an inch or so wide, maybe an inch wide, and you want to put that nail in the center of that slot and not really nail it completely tight so that piece can move around. And if you put that nail all the way to the left or the right, then you're restricting that piece of siding from moving, which can cause some of those noises. So we have had some fixes where it's been in the vinyl siding and you just can't move that siding around, and it just isn't able to do what it needs to do. And that's where some of those sounds can come from. Other areas that we found and fixed was the PVC drain pipes. So plastic PVC drain pipes, they're great. They will last a very long time. They don't just erode away like cast iron and other types of pipe, but they can, when you get temperature difference, like any piece of PVC, it can expand and contract. So we, with PVC pipes, we get a tapping. When you run hot water, if you get a tapping either while you're running hot water or after, you can shut it off, and moments afterwards, you just hear like this tapping sound inside the wall. You can't figure out where it's coming from. Well, you've probably got a PVC pipe that is drilled through a hole. It happens a lot at the floor, at the bottom of the wall, or the top of the wall, and going through the floor. If it's not centered in that hole, if there's not space around it, the other thing they do is they put metal around it because they're trying to protect from fire. So they put this metal around it, they put it there tight, and they nail it. Well, it can be that metal when it expands and contracts, and that metal making some noise, but those pipes will tap. So I've fixed that, and you can imagine how. You got to get inside the wall. You got to cut that hole opening bigger and create room around it. And I've done it too with the metal, where we take the metal off. We kind of cut the hole a little bit bigger on the metal, but then you got to fire caulk it with like a fireproof caulk so that it'll protect from fire getting around that pipe and moving from one floor to the other. I've also had squeaky floors where it's actually the wall next to the hallway nailed down to the floor, and they missed hitting it real tight on the floor joist. And so that wall and that floor is moving a little bit separately. And then there you go. You get this squeaking sound of the floor going down, the wall going up, and the nail sliding around inside of the plywood and back again. So there's several things like that. I've got quite a few more for you, but I tell you, we got Pat on the line. So let's jump to Pat real quick and see what's going on. Pat, are you there? Can you hear me?
I am here and I can hear you.
Awesome. How can we help you?
Well, I had to have a new sewer line put in just a few weeks ago. and where they cut into my basement floor, excuse me, and filled in the concrete again when they were done.
Uh-huh.
It just does not look real pretty. And I was wondering, is there a way that I can smooth that over and then paint my basement floor? And what would you recommend?
So there's definitely a way you could paint the basement floor with different concrete paints, epoxy-type concrete floor paint. So there are several ways that you can get that floor painted.
Okay.
As far as the concrete work in the patch, you can try, it depends on the space and how thick that is. So you can try like a hydraulic cement patch to kind of, because I'm guessing, did the concrete that they put in, did it kind of shrink and is it lower than the
Right now it's really very new.
Okay.
It's only like a week and a half old.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and you'd have probably gotten a lot of that shrinkage in the first week and a half as that sets up, because a lot of times they kind of pour those bag mix a little too wet, and then as they cure, they kind of shrink and create a space. You can try like if there's a little bit of a space, you can try to smooth it out with like a concrete patch mix material. It's basically a material that's a whole lot of Portland, and there's really not any aggregate or rocks in it because you're trying to do a very thin layer.
Well, it's really more where they overlapped onto the existing floor that it's kind of, I don't know, rough and
So
feathery looking.
It sounds like they went a little thicker, a little higher, and kind of tried to feather that out on top of the existing concrete. And if that's the
case.
If that's the case, then you're probably looking for someone to try and actually like sand that down. You grind that down.
Okay.
You can
that's
use
what
like a diamond type of grinder wheel is one way to do it. They have like floor sanders that sand and polish concrete.
Okay.
And it's like you're trying to just sand that down to get it more level with your existing concrete.
Okay. One other quick question.
Uh-huh.
I am going to have my carpet removed and replaced with vinyl plank flooring.
Uh-huh.
And I have one place in the living room that is a squeaky floor place. Is there anything I can do to stop that squeak before I have the new floor put in?
Yes, I would definitely, when that carpet comes up, everything comes out and you can see the actual subfloor, I would start off by in the area where you walk and you find the squeaks, you basically just put a bunch of screw that subfloor down to the floor joist, because most of it should be glued, but it's not always. And they use nails when they put that in, and they're relying on the glue to kind of help hold that. And majority of your squeaks are between the floor joist kind of moving and the plywood kind of sliding and moving on top of that floor joist. So you just want to put a bunch of screws, and it might not hurt. And you could maybe even talk to the flooring company if they might do this, to just see about how much would it cost to just re-screw off everywhere that you're doing that. Because what you don't want to happen is you fix an area over here where it's a popular walking spot, and you're like, oh, this is so nice, the squeak's gone. And 12 feet away, you get a new squeak, and you're like, oh, huh. So at least maybe finding out, like, what if you just did that everywhere? How much would that cost?
Okay, that makes good sense.
Yeah, and well, just find out. Yep.
My son-in-law will have fun putting all those screws in for me, so that'll be great.
Yep, and I'll tell you, there's something that you could consider investing in for your son-in-law, too, because if he's going to help you out and, like, say he's removing all the carpet, get rid of everything, and he's going to kind of get that floor ready for you. You can get an attachment or you can get a screw gun that just comes that way where it's a really long end. And it has, like, you get screws that are kind of like a machine gun bullet thing where they're all on a strip.
And, oh, okay.
And basically, he can screw all those floors off standing up.
So it's kind of like a nail gun with screws in
it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a 3-foot-long screw gun with screws on the end that you load, and he can just kind of walk and be in a standing position and screw that floor, just drive a screw like every foot everywhere he goes. And for what that cost, it might just to help his knees and his back.
Perfect.
It's what us pros do all the time.
Perfect.
All righty.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the info.
Not a problem. Very welcome. Appreciate the call. Great questions. And we're going to jump into our break here, but we've got plenty for you. We'll be back. 314-436-7900. Don't touch that dial. Man, the music's so good, I just don't even want to start talking, right? Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. Rich Orris here today for you, the Home Improvement Show. And we've got plenty going on, but we've got plenty of time left for everybody out there. 314-436-7900. Right here, right now, lines are wide open for you. Pat had some definitely interesting thoughts on the subfloor and is definitely worth thinking about when you go in to get new floors. If you fix an area where you might be getting squeaks, to consider just maybe running around and just doing a whole lot more of it, because once your new floors are in, just trying to kind of predict the future and say you don't want to have to take those floors back out to try and fix squeaks at a later date, although the vinyl plank, if it's not a glue down, is probably one of the easiest to take out and put back. But who wants to go through all that if you can consider just running through and screw that floor off all over the place to try and prevent what could be happening there in the future? You know what they say, that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and who wants to go through all that at a later date? So these are the things we try and consider and think about when we're looking at all sorts of work all the time. Me running around with Mosby and looking at projects and helping people out and fixing them different things that we've done. So some of the noises, some of the squeaks and the clicks and the clacks and the pops that you hear, some of those fixes. I had one years ago that was actually a new hardwood floor that they were like, oh my gosh, ever since this hardwood floor went in, we've got this just squeaking like crazy. And we ended up figuring out that there was a trunk line in between the floor joists underneath the floor that was really close to the subfloor, not close enough to touch it. But since they put that hardwood floor in, the nails that went through started touching it, and that started causing that squeak. And we had to go in that basement and kind of rework that trunk line, lower that trunk line to get it away from those nails, to fix those squeaks happening every time they walked up and down that hallway. It was really bad squeaks and had never been there before until they got that new floor, and it ended up being the actual ductwork, not the flooring itself, but the nails from the floor hitting the ductwork. So there can be some odd situations to try and figure out and find when you have these noises starting in your house. But hey, we've got Judy on the line. Let's jump to Judy and see how we can help. Judy, are you there?
I am here, Rich.
All right.
This is Judy, whose house you visited this past week. And I just wanted to publicly thank you. It was just so full of knowledge for me. And you were so kind and gracious. You got up on my roof. You checked it out. You made suggestions and just so many good points. So So I guess what I'm saying is to other listeners out there, do not hesitate to call and have Rich come out. You're just so full of common sense knowledge, and that's what we need in this day and age.
Oh, my. That is great. I do appreciate the call and the kind words and everything. And that is just something that pre-radio, pre all of this, being here at Mosby Building Arts for actually yesterday was my 24th anniversary. I haven't had a chance to answer any emails from a lot of my colleagues saying happy anniversary. I appreciate all that too. But just
That's
being
amazing.
Here a long time and Scott Mosby's theory and training on just what are you trying to achieve, and the goal isn't like sell a project, or the goal isn't even actually like earn money or make a profit. The goal from day one has been different ways that we create our culture in the company. Of one of the first ones was just make a positive difference in people's lives every day. If you go out there and you do that,
you and your company have certainly done that. And as I said, I had hesitated about calling because I thought, oh my, I know they're busy, but so this is my word of wisdom to other listeners. Don't hesitate to make that call. Thank you so much again for what you have done and the whole Mosby team. They're just great. And I don't know if I could have a Saturday if I couldn't listen to the Mosby Building Arts show.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, you just made my day. So I guess I made yours the other day. I love you returning the favor. You just made my day. Just made approved everything that I've been trying to do for 20 something years now is working. So thank you.
Well, you know, kindness has a way when you give it out, it has a way of returning. And we sure could use a lot more of that in this world, but
yep.
I'll save that sermon for another day, and thank you, and I'll hang up now.
All right, no problem. You're welcome. thank you very much, Judy. And yes, that is quite amazing, because it was just sometimes when we're looking at things that are going on in someone's home, a lot of this is theories. I'm sure a lot of people have experienced this, like even I have with a doctor, where they're like, well, it seems like because of this and because of that and because of that, maybe you've got this going on, so let's try this. And it's really like a theory. And it may or may not work. So you may end up back at the doctor going, well, yeah, I took that medication and it just didn't really help me at all. And he goes, well, that theory wasn't probably 100% spot on. And that's what we're doing with homes often. And the thing that we were looking at with Judy's home was, is the attic ventilation working properly? And it was kind of like, well, you've got the right things here and you've done the attic well. They didn't quite get the outside soffit and everything quite perfect. And I'm not sure what's in between, if there's even more being blocked by what's in between there. But when you take the theory of the type of roof and how old it is, how long it's been there, the condition that it's in today, then I look at it and say, there's things that we could probably investigate to find out more that might cost some money. And, or there could be projects that we could do to get better ventilation coming into that attic from around that soffit and everything. But you end up into this kind of soffit fascia demo stuff, redo a lot of this work job. And I'm looking at a roof that's survived 20 years and is pretty close to the end of its life. And it's a good idea to go ahead and consider replacing the roof now. But it's not like it weared it out so fast that I would say spend a bunch of money and make this better because it's going to help you in the future. You're kind of there. So it's taking a theory and saying, I would leave well enough alone. I think it's working well enough the way you have it that I wouldn't necessarily spend a bunch of money to change it to find out. Now, if you could do some of this on your own and find some things out, then maybe that's that starts to become worth it. Or if you're, again, you got to take everyone's circumstances into account also. Are you 35 with young children and you're planning on staying in this house for 30, 40 years? Are you planning on moving right away? People, the average time spent in a home today is much, much shorter than years ago. So how long are you going to be there? That comes into play. How old are you? What's your use for the home? Are you going to give this home to someone else? Are you not? There's all these things that come into play. Then you take these theories and you just make the best decision you can figure out for yourself. And that's kind of what I did with Judy out there that day. And we came to the conclusion, just get your new roof and I think you'll be doing really well. So, yeah, it's just hopefully good advice that helps out. And that's what I've learned. And that's the goal that we've been doing here at Mosby Building Arts. How do you be a good advisor? How do you try and do the right thing? And then what happens is just a lot of good things come about later. I may end up seeing two or three of Judy's friends later that need stuff done, and we do some great projects. And it's just because you did the right thing for someone else before. And that's the goal. That's what we're trying to achieve. But, hey, and it's what I'm trying to achieve right here, right now, today. Try and help out as much as I can, answer some questions, give the best advice I can, see if I can just make a positive difference in all your lives every Saturday is kind of the goal here. So again, you can reach me, 314-436-7900. We'll have some more time for you, but we're going to jump into a break, and we'll have more home improvement after this. All right, here we go. Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris here for you again, 314-436-7900. Get you right in here for me. We got some time left for you. So if you have something you're curious about, you got going on, you have some of these noises we've been talking about you're curious about, anything like that, feel free to give me a shout. Again, 314-436-7900. And I think I got another fix for you. This is an interesting one, and I was literally just talking to a client about this on Thursday, I believe it was. Stopped by to look at some cracks and some different issues going on, and they have some truss lift going on. So we were talking about the cracks between the wall and the ceiling and how that can actually, when that's moving, that can actually create some noise, some cracks, some pops, so some noise going on, but it also creates a crack between the drywall in that ceiling and in that wall. And so we've got a really kind of cool way to cover that up, because if you tape and mud it, if you try and fix it, if you caulk it, that's going to move more in the future. It's going to open, it's going to close. And we've seen a lot of those open and close in the different seasons. So in the summer, when it's a little bit hotter and you have more humidity, the boards will swell and it'll kind of close those cracks. And then in the winter, when they shrink, it will open those cracks up. So we've got a pretty interesting way to install crown molding to kind of cover that up, make it look nice, and make that crown be able to slide up and down on the wall so that that crack is covered and disappears, but the home can still do what it needs to do in order to have that happen and not. Then you just don't have to visually see that crack anymore. It's a pretty cool thing. Works really well. But, hey, we've got Allie on the line, so let's jump over here. Allie, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, awesome. What do you got going on?
I just heard what Jesus said. I was calling Jesus. He's with you.
Can you turn your radio down? I'm having trouble hearing you, Allie.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
I am down.
Okay, how can we help you?
Now, who is this?
It's Rich.
Where's my phone?
It's the Home Improvement Show. Rich Orr is here.
Well, let me ask, I got to talk to Jesus first, then I'll call you back.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Let's jump over to Mike here, see if what Mike's got going on. Mike, you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how can we help you, sir?
Hey, attic insulation. We've got an issue with the, we got our living room repainted, and there's some almost like drip marks that we've been told was condensation, so we're going to have the attic re-insulated. And so I was thinking to have the company do the spray foam and then blow in on top of that. Is that pretty much the correct way to do it?
That is absolutely the best way to do that, yes. Because that what that will do is it will stop all air from infiltrating from the home into the attic. And that's the reason you get a lot of condensation on your ceiling is you have tempered air leaking into your attic, and it'll leak around light fixtures, can lights, the attic access, the scuttle, they call it, that where you can move the sheet of drywall to get in and out of your attic. It's important.
Yeah.
How they seal that up is another place and way that you get a lot of warm air in the winter into your very, very cold attic in the winter from the conditioned air in the house going up into the attic. And then the same thing in the summer, you get hot air permeating through, coming and leaking into the house, and then it puts all this hot air right at the ceiling line, and you've got cold air blowing trying to cool the house, and that's how you get condensation in the summer. So, yes, doing a thin layer of spray foam over the entire attic floor, they'll just do it kind of like a wall. It's only going to be about 3 inches thick, and then they'll blow fiberglass or cellulose insulation on top of that. That's the best way to insulate your attic.
Okey-doke. Just wanted to double check.
Yep.
It's not going to be cheap.
Yeah, no, but that's what'll help. And make sure, ask them about the scuttle. Do you have an access where you get into that attic?
Like, yeah, but it's not in the garage.
Oh, then you're good. Yep. If it's out in the garage, then you're pretty good there. I wouldn't worry too much about it. So, yep.
Yeah, I've got new stairs to put up just because the old wooden ones are getting rickety. But
yep, you're good then.
All right, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You're doing the best thing possible. So hey, we're gonna get into our final break here. If you need anything out of me in the last segment, we'll have a moment for you. 314-436-7900. Last segment, Home Improvement Show. Right after this. All right, here we go. Final segment. We've got Marquise on the line. Let's see what's going on there. Hey, how can we help you? Can you hear me?
All right. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Okay. That's nice to hear. I just had a few questions for you.
Okay.
So I had, when I first bought my house 3.5 years ago, going on 4, I had Wood's basement system to come in and take out the old sub pump and put the new sub pump in. But I thought that was going to fix my problem with the water coming in.
Uh-huh.
So I asked my coworker today because we was talking about that, and he was like, well, they should have did something else so the water won't come in. It's the water steady coming in. And I'm like, well, no, it's not coming in, but it comes down the wall. So, but one point they told me, well, okay, well, if the water come down the wall, that's where we got our system right here. So the water come down the wall and it goes down in the system and it goes through the sub pump and the water, it spits the water back out outside. So I was just trying to make sure to see what do I need to do for the water to won't even come in, because my coworker was telling me this morning, like, sound like you got a crack. And then if it got a crack, that crack gonna keep, it's gonna get bigger and bigger. And I'm like, yeah, it's a crack in the basement, like in the foundation. And he's like, well, you need to get that looked at. Call them back. But I'm like, okay, well, I already paid like $13,000 for this sub pump and they threw the basement up and I had to put it back down and I'm in debt dealing with this. So that's my question. How do I should do that? Because they told me to go to Home Depot and put the ends for the gutters, put the thing on there so the water can go towards away from the house. Because when I bought it, the concrete, the asphalt, they didn't do it right. So they got it going towards the house instead of away from the house.
Oh,
so my next project is to do that, but it costs a lot of money for people to come and put real concrete. I don't want asphalt anymore. I want real concrete.
Yeah.
And it costs a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, what should I do in that aspect?
Yeah, and that definitely, so all of these systems that they have, none of them are perfect, and sometimes they'll do like what yours is doing. It's doing its job, but if there's something you can do from the outside, like the new concrete, the gutters, something that Mosby Building Arts, the way we look at something like that is we try and assess the entire kind of house and go, okay, where is the water coming from? Are there projects we could do outside to move water away? And it may not, even if you did all of these projects outside before the sump pump, there's a chance it solves everything for you, but there's a good chance it doesn't. It just makes it way better, because sometimes it's about, if I can stop the water 80% of it, well, that's still better than not stopping it at all and letting 100% come in, because even Wood's system is going to work really hard getting rid of that water. So if you can minimize that water, you're better off. So assessing the outside of the house, the concrete, like you're talking about, slope the wrong way with the asphalt, do concrete, get it the other way. Are there things that can happen that can mitigate this water, or at least a portion of this water? In learning what that is, it starts with the gutters, and it works around to the slope of the grade, to everything around the house, and it works from there. And generally, when I look at a house, I'll start with all of that and then go towards that sump pump if we still need it, because you still may, but we can sometimes correct a lot of that without needing the sump pump too. So There's a chance you would have needed that sump pump anyways, and there's a very good chance of it. But I have also been in situations where there's water coming down the wall and someone was offered a sump pump like you were, and I went and looked at it, and I'm like, your window's leaking. Well, if we fix the window in the wall, we get water where we need it to go. Outside of that, we eliminated 100% of the water coming in. There was no need to collect that water and get it back out. So it is a matter of examining the house and figuring out if there's situations like that that are helping put that water into your basement. And I mean, I'm with Mosby Building Arts. This is what we do. That's the only recommendation I know of who could do that well, is one of our exterior consultants from Mosby Building Arts to take a look at the outside of the house, kind of let you know what's going on, if there's anything we think we can help you with, and then figure that out and describe that with you.
Okay. Okay. Moving on. Yep. I appreciate it. So I will give you a call back on that. So
Perfect. The
second thing is, I end up, when I moved in my house, like I said, 3.5, 4 years, I end up, I didn't know how old was the roof. So I made everybody that call, you know, when we get these hail damage in St. Louis, everybody calling, they looking up the addresses. They say, well, we got We got some people in your area. We can get on your roof and look and see if you're good. No, no, thank you. But yeah. I made a mistake. I let a few people get on there, and then I didn't know when I called my insurance. They
okay, hey,
my
hey,
insurance.
Marquise, I hate uh-huh. to jump in on you like this, but
you got to cut me off. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Mosby can okay. take a look at your roof too.
Okay.
But we're completely okay. out of time. You could also call okay. me next Saturday. I'll
yes.
be back.
Okay.
Show ends in like 5 seconds. So appreciate
okay.
the call.
Yes.
I'll talk to
yes.
you next week. I'll talk to everybody else next week.